noticed. That must be it. I walked us to the table and spread her out so I could quickly unbuckle my pants. But when I looked back up at her smiling face, I saw Emery. Emery. Not Emily, who I was just about to fuck. I blinked a few times and my eyes came into focus. Chestnut hair, dark Italian skin, big brown eyes. The two looked nothing alike. Hovering over her, I held off on taking down my underwear to clear my head and get back in the moment. Then I took her mouth again, and we were kissing. But I couldn't shake the image of Emery crying alone at her desk, her big blue eyes red, fair skin blotched, sad about some asshole who was probably eating escargot and would wake her up with shaking walls at 2 in the morning. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck! I stood up and dragged my hand through my hair, wanting to yank it out in frustration. What? What's wrong? I pulled up my pants as I responded. It's a client. She called while I was downstairs and I blew her off. But I need to go work on something. Are you kidding me? Now? I'm sorry, Emery. Emily. She covered her breasts as she sat up on the table. Emily, yes, sorry, my mind is elsewhere. Like on Emery, instead of Emily, where it should be. It's fine, she said. I could tell it wasn't. Of course, I didn't blame her one bit. I'd be pissed as hell if a woman pulled the crap I'd just pulled on her. But there was nothing I could do about it, except apologize. I'm really sorry. It's time-sensitive or I wouldn't do this. I understand. She got herself dressed, and less than 5 minutes after I'd walked into my apartment with a smoking hot naked woman waiting for me, I was walking her to the elevator. The ride down was uncomfortable. In the lobby, she kissed me on the cheek and walked out without looking back. I should have felt badly, but instead, all I felt was anxious, wondering if Emery was still here. She'd better not be gone already. Chapter 18. Jesus Christ! Emery was just behind the front door to the office when I whipped it open. If she'd taken another step, I probably would have slammed her in the face. She clutched at her chest. Are you trying to give me a heart attack? Good, you're still here. I was just getting ready to leave. What's the matter? Is everything okay? Everything is fine, but I'm taking you out for your birthday.
You don't have to do that.
I know I don't, but I want to. She squinted.
I thought you had company.
Got rid of her?
Why?
Why what?
Why did you ditch your date?
The confusion on her face melted as a realization of some sort seemed to hit her.
Oh.
My brows drew down.
Oh, what? You're done with your date.
I was far from done, I grumbled, then nodded my head toward the street. Come on. You deserve a nice night out on your birthday. That dumb putz has no idea what he's missing. Let's go get shit-faced. She smiled from ear to ear.
That sounds awesome.
I'm never getting my balls in. Maybe that's why you're so uptight. You haven't been laid in so long, you forgot it's not the balls that go inside. I smirked at Emery as the 5-ball rolled into the left corner pocket. It was our first game of pool, and I just banked in my 5th ball in a row. She was right. I might clear the table before she chalked up her stick. She narrowed her eyes.
How do you know how long it's been since I've gotten laid?
You're wound a little tight. I expected her to go off on me, but instead she surprised me. Literally. Just as I was about to take my 6th shot, she yelled,
"Watch it!"
My hand veered mid-shot, and the 2-ball landed nowhere near the pocket I'd intended. She sported a smug smile, all proud of herself.
Is that how we're going to play this?
What? I'm so uptight I can't help myself. Sometimes words get bottled up, and they just pop out of my mouth like a cork from champagne. Your shot. I extended my hand toward the felt. As she positioned herself, I rounded the table, moving closer until I stood directly behind her. She attempted to pretend it didn't bother her, but eventually she turned around.
What are you doing?
I'm watching you take the shot.
From behind?
I grinned. It gives me the best view.
Go back to where you were standing.
She waved her hand to the other side of the pool table.
I think your view is clearer from over there.
She bent again, attempting to line up her shot. My eyes dropped to her amazing ass. That depends on what I'm looking at. When she finally took the shot, her cue scraped along the felt and completely missed the ball.
I thought you knew how to play.
I do.
Doesn't look that way.
You're making me nervous standing behind me.
I leaned down next to her and showed her how to position her hand to cradle the stick so it would at least be easier to connect with the ball. After she got the hang of it, I went back to the other side of the table. My intentions that time had been truly altruistic, at least until her shirt gapped open and I was staring straight down at her tits. I couldn't bring myself to move. She must have been wearing one of those bras that only holds half a breast, because all I could see were two perfectly round globes of luscious, creamy skin with just a hint of something black and lacy. Great tits to go with a spectacular ass. I brought my beer to my lips as I waited for her to take her shot, but kept right on gawking over the bottle as I took a long draw. The only thing that eventually distracted me was watching her slide the stick back and forth between her fingers. Then I imagined my cock was the stick. Forcing my eyes shut as she finally took her shot, I emptied the contents of my Stella. Emery managed to connect with the ball this time, only she sank one of my balls instead of her own. She was so excited I didn't have the heart to tell her.
Does that mean I go again?
Sure does. I'm going to grab another beer. You want one?
Yes, but not another beer. They make me too full.
Okay, what do you want?
Surprise me. I'll drink whatever you give me.
I definitely needed to walk away for a minute. The line at the bar was too deep, but I was a regular here. Roman and I met at Fat Cat every weekend to play pool and talk shop. So when Tiny, the bartender, who had to be nearly 7 feet tall, saw me, he took my order ahead of most people. I'll take another Stella and one of those. I pointed to a margarita. Tiny cracked a smile. Roman getting in touch with his feminine side tonight? Nah, he's probably home getting in touch with himself. I'm here with... What the hell was she? She wasn't a date, wasn't a co-worker even though we worked in the same office. I couldn't even call her an employee. Searching for a word, I settled on the simplest one. A woman. Emery was most definitely a woman. While I waited, I thought about the fact that I'd never once even considered taking a date here. Again, not that tonight was a date. But this was the kind of place you came to hang out and be yourself. Yet I hadn't thought twice about bringing Emery here. It was nice to spend time with a woman who I knew would be comfortable in an underground pool hall slash dive bar. It was a bonus that she was sexy as shit. I was only gone a few minutes, but when I returned to the pool table, there was a guy talking to Emery. A pang of good old male jealousy sprang to life inside of me. Resisting the urge to tell him to beat it, I opted to make the guy feel uncomfortable until he slithered away. I walked up and stood next to Emery. Handing her the drink as I looked at the snake, I said, "Here you go. Who's your friend?"
"This is Will. He offered to show me some pointers."
"Oh, yeah?" Will was holding a drink in his left hand. The finger he'd slipped his wedding ring off of still had the indent in it. I waited until our eyes locked. Then I let mine lead his down to his finger. "We have the table for another 20 minutes. You and your wife want next game when we're finished?" Nothing like a little silent man-to-man conversation. He nodded to the bar. "Maybe another time. My friends are waiting for me." "Nice talking to you, Will." After that, Emery and I finished our game and went to sit at a table in a quieter area of the bar. She drank that first margarita pretty quick, and the waitress had just delivered a second. Her mood had changed from down about the asshole with a bow tie to alcohol-assisted upbeat.
"So what was your favorite birthday present you ever received?" she asked.
"Me? I don't know. Growing up, my father bought me lots of shit. A car for my 17th birthday, I guess."
"That's boring."
She took a sip of her margarita, and a line of salt stuck to her lip. "You have..." I pointed to my mouth where the salt was on hers. "Salt." She reached up and swiped her lip, but the wrong side. I chuckled and reached across the table. I got it. Without giving it a second thought, I brought the salt from her lips to mine and sucked it off my thumb. Maybe I was deluding myself, big ego and all, but I swear her lips parted, and if I'd leaned in, I would have heard a little gasp. Fuck. I bet she's really responsive in bed. I cleared my throat. What about you? Best present you ever received?
My parents gave me a gift certificate for LASIK surgery when I turned 18.
LASIK? But you wear glasses.
Oh, I didn't keep the gift. I went down to the doctor's office and explained that my parents had made a mistake, and I didn't want the surgery.
So you didn't want the surgery, but it was the best present you ever received? She sipped her margarita again. Unfortunately, no salt left behind this time. I thought about pretending there was, but she started to speak again too quickly.
Oh, no, I wanted to get the surgery. In second grade, Missy Robinson called me Grandma because I needed different glasses to see the board and to read. The name stuck throughout elementary school. I hated my glasses. For a long time, I wouldn't wear them, even though I had to squint and constantly got headaches.
What am I missing? Your parents got you something you really wanted, so you returned it?
My parents couldn't afford the surgery. It was $6,000, and my dad was driving around in a 20-year-old car. But it was the nicest present I could ever have asked for.
Add sweet to a great rack, highly fuckable ass, and smart mouth. That smart mouth is also quite fuckable, I might add. What about now? If you could have anything you wanted for your birthday today, what would it be? Her finger tapped at her lip while she thought.
A bath?
A bath? Like one of those spa treatment mud things or something?
Nope. Just a good soak in a nice tub. My apartment only has a shower, and I really miss taking a bath. I used to take one every Saturday morning, put in my headphones and soak until I was shriveled. It's my happy place.
I took a long draw from my beer, watching her again. You're easy to please. She shrugged.
How about you? If today was your birthday and you could pick one present, what would it be?
I swallowed my immediate thought. Beck. Not wanting to bring down Emery's mood on her birthday, I gave her my second pick for a present. A blow job would be nice. Emery was mid-sip and sprayed her margarita all over me when she laughed. I wiped my face with a napkin. Well, now I've had the salt and the margarita. She giggled.
I'm sorry.
It was after 2 a.m. by the time we stumbled to Emery's apartment. I'd insisted on walking her home. I had a buzz going, but I thought she might be closer to drunk. Shh. She held a finger up to her mouth to tell me to keep it down, yet she was the one being loud. Pointing to the apartment next door as she fished in her purse for keys, she added,
That's Baldwinie's apartment.
Yep. She was drunk. I took the keys from her hand. Might do him some good to hear you with another man. Emery stepped aside so I could unlock the door for her. Letting out a big sigh, she leaned her head on my arm while I screwed with the lock. The damn thing seemed to be stuck.
He wouldn't be jealous, she slurred. He doesn't want me.
I jiggled the keys in the lock a few more times and the bolt clanked open. Well, then he's an idiot. I pushed the door open and held out the keys to her. On the handoff, she bobbled them and giggled some more when we banged heads, reaching down to pick them up from the floor. Over the sound of her laughter, I heard the door next to her apartment open. Emery didn't seem to. When Baldwin stepped into the hall and looked at us, I suddenly felt very territorial. With her back to him, Emery was still unaware that we had an audience. She smiled up at me with those big blue eyes, and something came over me. I leaned in and gave her a soft kiss on the lips. A toe in the water to take the temperature. That little kiss was all testosterone, me being a dick to the asshole next door. Pissing on the fire hydrant, so to speak. But when I pulled my head back and saw her eyes dilated and lips parting for more, my next move had nothing to do with who was watching. It was sheer desire. I lost it. My mouth crashed down on hers again, and her lips parted for me. My tongue slid in, and I took my first long stroke inside. It was salty and peppered with tequila, but it was the most delicious thing I'd ever tasted. And suddenly, I was starving. I pulled her flush against me and wrapped my arms around her tight. There was no guy who she was in love with watching. It was just me and Emery. Everything else disappeared as I deepened the kiss, and she eagerly pushed her tits up against my chest. The sound she made when my hand went to her phenomenal ass encouraged me to keep going. I wanted nothing more than to push her up against her door and grind my swelling cock against her. And I might have given in and done it, had the asshole next door not put a damper on the moment. Baldwin cleared his throat. Hearing that sound, Emery pulled away and turned to find that the man she was in love with had just watched this entire thing. She looked startled, and I hated that there was already a look of regret in her eyes. I didn't have the heart to make her feel any more shaken than she already was. Cupping her cheeks, I leaned in and whispered in her ear, "Maybe that will wake him up." Then I kissed her cheek. "See you at the office, birthday girl." Chapter 19. New Year's Eve, 4 years ago.
"Who the fuck are these people?"
Roman was sitting on the balcony of my apartment in the dark, smoking a hand-rolled cigarette, when I snuck out to escape for a few minutes.
"Maybe you'd know if you were inside instead of out here."
I took the seat beside him and stared out into the sea of lights that was New York City.
"It's fucking freezing. Did you see the tits on that blonde with the blue sweater?"
"That's Sage, one of Alexa's new friends."
"She ain't the brightest bulb. I was joking around and told her I could tell her age by feeling her up."
"Don't tell me she let you grope her." The end of Roman's cigarette illuminated bright red as he took a long drag.
"Yep. After I copped a good feel, she asked me when she was born."
He blew out a string of smoke rings.
"I told her yesterday and came to sit out here."
I chuckled. Fucking Roman. He either got smacked or lucky, and sometimes I wondered which one he actually liked better.
"Yeah, Alexa has a knack for picking choice friends. Looks like she settled into New York okay, at least."
From the outside, at least tonight, it would appear that way. This was certainly better than her going out alone last year, followed by a huge fight to kick off the new year when I'd questioned her about the guy who'd driven her home. This year, our home was filled with all of the friends she'd made over the last 4 months since we moved to New York from Atlanta. But the truth was, she still bitched daily about leaving her friends behind. She's made some friends, mostly from the acting class she's taking in the gym. I was hoping she'd find friends who have more in common with her. Maybe some of the ladies from Mommy and Me. But she says they're all sweater-wearing stuffy bitches.
"If those sweaters are anything like the blondes, I might be borrowing your kid to take a Mommy and Me class."
We were both quiet for a few minutes, enjoying the peace of a clear night. Roman's voice was serious when he spoke again.
"How's AJ doing?"
AJ was my father's nickname, short for Andrew Jagger. Neither of us used our given name. I was always Drew, and he was always AJ.
"Not good. It's spread to a lung now. Looks like they're going to have to remove a piece."
"Fuck. I'm sorry, friend. AJ's too damn young for this shit." 4 months ago, my father had gone to the doctor for an annual physical, and his blood work revealed his liver enzymes were off. 2 days later, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. Even though the statistics weren't on his side, a 15% five-year survival rate from diagnosis, he was optimistic. He'd endured months of high-dose chemo that made him sick as a dog, only to be told the day after he finished the last round that the cancer had metastasized to his lung.
"Yeah, I'm glad I could be here for him. He's got a shitload of friends and business associates, but without a wife taking care of him, I needed to be back in New York."
"I was beginning to think you weren't coming back."
"I think that was Alexa's plan."
I'd always intended to come back to New York to work with my father in his practice. After I passed the bar, Alexa had begged me to stay in Atlanta one more year. It meant having to take a second bar exam, but I was trying to make her happy while she was adjusting to motherhood. So we agreed to stay in Atlanta for 1 year. One turned into two, and until my dad got sick, I think it was Alexa's plan to keep asking for one more year.
She's adjusting. She likes the shopping and has decided to take some acting classes. Apparently that's something she's always wanted to do, but never mentioned until she signed up for the first class. I shrugged. Whatever. It keeps her happy. Roman looked at me. What about you? She keep you happy. She's a good mother. So is my mother. But that doesn't mean I want to fuck her and spend the rest of my life hanging out with her. You have a unique way of looking at shit. I'm banging a yoga instructor. She's all into that introspective crap. I'm sure that's why you're with her. Not because she can lift her leg over her own shoulder. The only time she shuts the hell up and stops trying to enlighten me with useless wisdom is when I have her legs over her shoulders. My dick acts like a stopper in a bathtub full of wisdom quotes. I chuckled and stood, smacking my friend on the back. Come on, let's go back to the party. I'm freezing my balls off, and I want to check on Beck. It's getting pretty loud in there. Navigating through the growing party, I made my way to my little boy's room. So damn sweet. He even smiled in his sleep. Okay, so maybe it was a twitch, but his mouth relaxed and then jumped to a grin every few seconds. He must have been dreaming about his race cars and grapes, his two favorite things the last few months. I pulled the cover up to his chin and ran my fingers over his soft cheeks. God, I'd never dreamed I could love anyone in the world so much. My heart clenched in my chest momentarily as I wondered if my own father had looked at me the same way 20-some-odd years ago. I needed my dad to get better. I wanted him to get to know my son and guide me to be the kind of father he was to me. I wasn't a religious guy. The last time I'd been in church was my shotgun wedding to Alexa. And before that, probably a funeral. But a small cross hung over my son's crib. I looked at it every day, but never really saw it as more than a decoration. It couldn't hurt to try. Standing beside Beck's crib, I said a small prayer for God to watch over my father and my son. We'd been back in New York for 4 months, and that cross had hung on the wall next to his crib the entire time. But when I opened the door to go back to the party, the thing fell to the ground. I hoped that wasn't a sign.
Chapter 20. My head felt like I'd been run over by a car full of pissed-off AA members. I was so thirsty. My mouth had been overtaken by a desert, yet every sip of water made me queasy. Jesus, no wonder I don't drink very often. The only good thing about this hangover was that I was so busy feeling like crap, I didn't have the capacity to think about last night. Drew, that kiss. That kiss. Baldwin. Holding my breath, I walked into the office even later than my normal late. I didn't have a session until the afternoon, but I was behind on typing my notes into patient files. The thought of facing Drew suddenly made my hangover nausea seem like just a warm-up for the real thing. I was relieved when I turned the corner into the hallway to see his door was shut. The awkwardness with him was inevitable, but it would be easier when I felt better. Putting it off as long as possible seemed ideal at the moment. Inside my office, I hung my coat on the rack behind the door and popped my laptop into the docking station. It wasn't until I sat down at my desk and reached to flip on my monitor that I saw the note. It was Drew's handwriting. All-day deposition in Jersey. Won't be back until tonight. Need you to do me a favor and go upstairs to my apartment. I left a note with instructions in the kitchen. Penthouse East. Key card for the elevator and door key are in your top drawer. Thanks. D. That was odd. I attempted to settle in and answer a few emails, but curiosity wasn't going to wait long. Taking the key and elevator card from my desk, I headed out to the lobby after less than 5 minutes. On the ride up, I watched the lights illuminate in a daze. I knew Drew lived in the building, but he'd never mentioned it was the penthouse. What could he need me to do in his apartment? Did he have a cat? The shiny silver elevator doors slid open when I reached the top floor. Stepping off, there were only two doors, PW and PE. Unlike my apartment, the penthouse east lock turned easily. Drew had written that he wouldn't be back until tonight, yet I felt compelled to call out as I cracked the door open. Hello? Hello? Anyone home? The apartment was quiet. No furry little creatures greeted me at the door either. I closed it behind me and went in search of the kitchen. Holy shit. Drew Jagger's apartment was stunning. Mouth hanging open, I walked right past the sleek kitchen, down two steps into the sunken living room, and went to the wall of glass. Floor-to-ceiling windows framed a view of Central Park that could have been plucked out of a movie. After taking in the scenery for a few minutes, I unglued my eyes and went back to the kitchen. On the granite countertop was a note. Down the hall, first door on the right. What the? There was only one hall. My palms were sweaty when I reached for the doorknob. Why was I so nervous? I had no idea what to expect, so I pushed the door open ever so slowly, only to find an empty bathroom. I was still holding the note from the kitchen in my hand, so I rechecked the directions. First door on the right. Assuming he must have made a mistake, I was just about to shut the door when I saw a sticky on the mirror above the sink. I flicked on the light and took a good look around the room before reading it. It was one hell of a nice bathroom, bigger than the bedroom in my apartment. Turning to meet my reflection, I pulled the sticky note from the mirror. Bag on counter. Got you some girly bath stuff. Remote to tub jets in bag, too. Happy belated birthday. Enjoy your day. P.S. Motrin in medicine cabinet. Unexpectedly, my eyes welled up with tears. The hard-ass destroyer of relationships had a soft side. My skin was getting pruny. I'd actually dozed off for 20 minutes soaking in the tranquil tub and listening to Norah Jones. Drew had picked up bath salts, lavender bubble bath, and two small lavender candles. The odd feeling I had stripping out of my clothes and drawing a bath in an unfamiliar home quickly faded when I stepped into the warm water. I'd been in the tub for more than a half hour, and the water was starting to chill. Yet I still wanted to try out the whirlpool jets. I opened the drain for a minute, then added some scalding water to warm the bath back up. Grabbing the tiny remote, I pushed a couple of buttons, and the tub whirled to life. That feels heavenly. I increased the pressure of the jets on my back and covered the one at my feet with the arch of my right foot, simulating a foot massage. It really felt like a massage. When was the last time anyone actually gave me a massage? A man. It had been a long time. Too long. Which was probably why when I shut my eyes to enjoy the sensation, I began thinking what that sensation would feel like other places on my body. And that brought my mind right back to Drew. That kiss. That kiss. Sigh. I hadn't realized Baldwin had walked into the hallway, and Drew was only doing it to make him jealous. It had felt so real. So filled with desire. The way he pressed his body up against mine so hard, holding me so tight, I thought it was hunger fueling the kiss. And even though I'd been startled by it at first, my body had reacted immediately. Which was why, when I realized he'd only done it because Baldwin was watching, to make him jealous, I was flooded with so many mixed emotions. Today, I was also confused for another reason. I seemed to be more concerned about things turning weird between me and Drew than I was about what Baldwin would think. Since I had the man on the brain, I decided to send Drew a text. I wasn't even sure if he was a texter. I'd never really seen him pay attention to his phone other than to answer it. Emery, this might be my new favorite birthday present ever. Thank you. My pathetic heart sped up when I saw dots start jumping. Drew, topping a gift to slice open your eyeballs, which you returned. You're damn easy to please. I laughed. I also moved my foot to uncover the jet and spread my legs to feel the water pressure. Emery, it was really sweet of you. This bathtub is heavenly. Drew, is. Are you texting me from the tub right now? Emery, I am. Drew, you can't tell me shit like that. I'm in the middle of a deposition, and now I'm going to be distracted picturing you naked in my tub. I started to type a response. Then stopped. Drew was picturing me naked, Tiny goosebumps broke out over my body, even though I was blanketed with warm water. I knew he was teasing me, yet there was still something exciting about it, and I wanted to play back. Emery, do you like what you're picturing? Drew, I just had to adjust my pants under the table. What do you think? I think I liked the thought of Drew Jagger getting a hard-on thinking about me. My body was reacting to his texts the same way it had reacted to his kiss last night. I attempted to think of something sexy to type back, but before I could come up with something witty, the little dots were jumping again. Drew, how did things go with Professor Putz last night after I left? At the mention of Baldwin, the same other feeling I'd had last night hit me like a bucket of cold water, a reminder that Drew was just being his normal, crass self. Yet again, I thought he was serious for a minute. Emery, not much to tell. For some reason, I left off that Baldwin had asked if he could take me out tonight to make up for canceling on me. The texts from Drew had been coming in rapid succession, but he went silent for a few minutes. Eventually, the dots started again. Drew, have fun. Gotta get back to my case. I didn't hear from him again after that. I soaked a few more minutes in the bath, and then went back down to the office. My afternoon appointments were uneventful, and the rest of the day blew by while I caught up on updating case files. Baldwin texted to say he'd made reservations for 7 at some place I wouldn't attempt to pronounce, so I left the office at 5:30 to freshen up before dinner. I changed out of the skirt and blouse I'd worn to the office, and into a little black dress. It wasn't necessary to look up the restaurant where we were going. I knew it would be fancy. Unlike Drew, Baldwin didn't go to underground pool hall bars or eat greasy burgers from Joey's. The funny thing was, I really had no desire to go to some uppity place tonight. As I fastened small pearl-drop earrings to my ears, I became annoyed with myself for pretending I wanted to be at those places with Baldwin. The truth of the matter was, I had pretended to like some of the same things as him, just to have a reason to spend time together. When Baldwin knocked promptly at 7, I still wasn't feeling like myself. My normal excitement had been replaced by annoyance. I was annoyed he'd blown me off last night in favor of the latest woman he was screwing, and I was annoyed I'd been pretending to like things for him, when he clearly didn't go out of his way for me. I opened the door and invited him in, so I could grab my phone from the charger and change purses. While I was in the bedroom, I heard a cell phone ring from the living room, and then Baldwin's voice say hello. I listened to one side of the conversation as I returned to the living room. Probably about 11. I walked to the kitchen and opened the purse I'd used today to go to work and began to transfer a few things to my small black clutch. Okay, yes. It'll be late, but we can discuss it then. I scrolled through my messages while Baldwin finished up his conversation. A text had come in from Drew about 10 minutes ago. Drew. On way back. You still at the office? Have to write a motion when I get back. Going to be a long night for me. Ordering Chinese for delivery. You want something? I started to text back, and then stopped when Baldwin hung up and asked, You ready? Sure. I picked up my new purse and went to the closet to get my coat. Baldwin, always the gentleman, took my coat and stood behind me to help put it on. You have to work after dinner? Hmm? The phone call. I overheard you say you would talk to someone later. Oh, that was Rachel. We both have work events this weekend, and she wants me to attend hers with her after mine. I told her I'd discuss it when I get there later this evening. The little bubble of anger that had been threatening finally broke inside of me. Oddly, I wasn't really angry at Baldwin. I was pissed at myself. I turned to face him. You know what? I'm sorry to do this last minute, but I've had a headache all day, and it's just getting worse. I'm afraid I won't be very good company tonight. Baldwin was taken aback, his brow furrowed. You don't want to go to dinner? Not tonight. I'm sorry. Can I take a rain check? I hadn't intended to, but I realized immediately after I said it that Baldwin had used the same phrase on me when he canceled last night. Can I take a rain check? After he left, I remembered I hadn't sent Drew the text I'd begun typing out. My finger hovered over the "I'm already gone, but thank you for asking" message until it started to erase the words. Screw it. I typed something without allowing myself to rethink it. Emery, I'll take a Mushu pork.
Chapter 21. Looks like I picked the wrong day to be out of the office. Emery had slipped off her coat, revealing a slinky little black dress. She smiled. Damn. I'd spent the cab ride home last night convincing myself that kiss was for her own good. I was helping her. It wasn't because she was beautiful and smart and couldn't play pool for shit, yet didn't complain once when I brought her to a pool hall. It was because Professor Putz needed a little incentive to make his move. I'd almost convinced myself, too. But it had been eating at me all day. What if I'd spurred the dope to finally act and then primed the pump for him, too? Emery had melted into me with that kiss. I felt her body surrender, heard that little sound she made, and knew she felt it like I did. The engine was all fired up and ready to run. For that fucker. My deposition should have wrapped in 4 hours today, yet it took me almost twice that because of my lack of focus. Then tonight, I called Yvette and canceled the date we'd made a month ago. Yvette, the flight attendant who didn't want a commitment and hummed a sweet tune while she gave a blowjob. The woman was bachelor gold. I was supposed to go out and had a change of plans, Emery said. I nodded. Come eat. Your mushu was getting cold. She sat in one of the guest chairs on the opposite side of the desk. This looks like a lot of food. Is someone else joining us? You took a while to respond, so I ordered some extra stuff in case you were still here. Wasn't sure if you liked chicken, beef, or shrimp, so I got one of each. Guy on the phone barely spoke English. When I called back to add your pork, I figured it was easier to just add to the order than try to change it. I slid a takeout container across the desk to her. No plates, no forks. Hope you can eat with chopsticks. I sort of suck at chopsticks. I thumbed toward the ceiling. You can go upstairs and get a fork from my place if you want, but I haven't eaten since 6 a.m., so you're on your own with that. She smiled and ripped the paper off the chopsticks. All deal, but no making fun of me. It wasn't an easy task. The woman had two left chopsticks. She dropped more than she got into her mouth, but the two of us quickly established an unspoken system. Every time she dropped a piece of pork on the way to her lips, I'd smirk, and she'd squint at me. It was as much fun as tossing insults her way, but half the effort. So what happened with Professor Putz last night? She sighed and sat back in her chair. Nothing. He asked me to go out to dinner tonight to make up for canceling on me last night. I froze with my chopsticks halfway to my mouth. He bailed on you again tonight? Not this time. I actually bailed on him. I shoved a shrimp in my mouth. Nice. Getting even. How'd it feel? A smile spread across her beautiful face. Pretty damn good, actually. So that's why you're all dressed up? She nodded. We were supposed to go to some fancy restaurant for my belated birthday dinner. He came to my apartment to pick me up, and I overheard him talking on his cell to Rachel, saying he was going over there after dinner. So you got jealous and canceled? Actually, no. I got annoyed at myself. I've spent the better part of 3 years taking whatever scraps I was offered from a man who's never going to see me as anything more than a friend and neighbor. I deserve better than that. I couldn't agree more. Damn right you do. She sighed. I need to move on. I picked up a shrimp with my sticks and offered it to her. Shrimp? Okay, but put it in my mouth or you'll have a trail of sauce all across your desk by the time I get it in. I arched a brow. I'll gladly put it in your mouth. Open wide. She laughed. You can turn something so innocent into something dirty. It's a gift. I moved my offering closer, and her beautiful mouth opened so I could feed her. When her lips closed around my sticks, I felt it straight down to my cock. I imagined my own wood sliding in, being swallowed by her perfectly painted lips. The taste of the shrimp hit her tongue, and her eyes closed as she appreciated the deliciousness. At that point, I needed to readjust my pants. again. I swallowed, watching her swallow. When was the last time you actually had sex? She coughed, almost choking on a piece of shrimp this time.
Excuse me?
You heard me right. Sex. When was the last time you had it?
You already know my history. I haven't had a relationship in almost a year.
You meant a sexual relationship? I assumed when you said that you meant you hadn't dated anyone consistently in that long.
I haven't.
You do know that not all relationships need to be more than sexual.
Of course I know that, but I need more than just a one-night stand.
Like what?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I need to feel safe with the person. I need to be physically attracted to them. We need to be able to get along after the act, and I need to feel like I'm not being taken advantage of, that our relationship, whatever it isn't one-sided. If it's purely sex, that's okay, but we both need to have that understanding.
I nodded. Those are all fair. By that point, I'd pretty much lost my mind, which would explain how my next thought made its way from my brain and shot right out through my lips. How do I apply for the job?
The job?
She actually seemed confused. I thought it was pretty damn clear. Of sexual partner. I think we should have sex.
Chapter 22. You're insane. Because I think we should have sex. How does that make me insane? We're pretty much opposites. You believe a relationship is the period of time people spend together before one screws the other over. So, I believe in love and marriage and making things work. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about sex. I know it's been a while, but that's when a man and a woman... I cut him off. I know what sex is. Good. Me too. So have it with me. That's crazy. Do you feel safe with me? Safe? Yes, I guess so. I know you wouldn't let anything happen to me. Are you physically attracted to me? You clearly know you're good-looking. And if we were both clear on what was going on, you wouldn't feel like you were being taken advantage of. Drew tilted his chair back. I meet all of your criteria. He winked. Plus, I have a big bathtub. That's a bonus. Come to think of it, maybe I should be vetting you better. I'm a catch.
I couldn't help but laugh at the absurdity.
See, another bonus. I make you laugh.
He wasn't wrong there. Honestly, in the last 2 weeks, Drew Jagger had stirred a lot of things inside of me that I hadn't felt in a long time. I bit my lip. My stomach felt like a dryer with a half-empty load of laundry, bouncing around randomly as things heated up. I couldn't believe I was even considering what he'd suggested. How long ago was the last time you were with a woman?
The day before I met you.
So only a few weeks ago. Were you dating her?
No. I met her while I was on vacation in Hawaii.
Did you get to know each other before having sex?
I had no idea why I was even asking the question.
Drew set his container down on the table.
She gave me a blowjob in the bathroom less than a half hour after we met in the restaurant bar.
I scrunched up my nose.
Did you want me to lie to you?
I guess not. I think I'd have preferred that not to be your answer, though. He nodded.
You wanted to believe there was romance and an exotic setting, that it was more than it was. It was just sex between two consenting adults. There doesn't always have to be more to it.
I finished my Chinese food and leaned back, folding my hands on top of my full stomach. While it's tempting, I grinned, mostly because of that bathtub, I don't think it's a good idea. We spend too much time together for it to just be sex. Drew's thumb rose to his mouth, and he rubbed his full bottom lip.
I could evict you.
Then I'd definitely want to have sex with you, because nothing puts me in the mood like being tossed out on the street, I teased. Drew came around to my side of the desk and took my empty box and his to the garbage. I felt him come up behind me when he returned. Leaning down, his head over my shoulder, his breath tickled my neck when he spoke.
You change your mind. You know where to find me.
Even though I didn't really feel like being alone, a little while after we finished eating, I told Drew I needed to get home to do some work. His text earlier had said he had hours of work to do when he got back to the office, and I didn't want to keep him from it. Plus, I needed some time to let the discussion we'd had tonight sink in. While the entire proposal was bizarre, I couldn't honestly deny that the thought of having a sexual relationship with Drew was appealing. While things returned to normal between Drew and me in the office over the next few days, and by normal I mean he ridiculed the advice he overheard me giving my patients, and I suggested he check up his ass for his missing ethics after the advice I heard him offer his clients, things between Baldwin and me remained strained. I'd heard him open and shut his door yesterday morning, and then there was a knock on my door, so I'd acted very mature and pretended I wasn't home. I had no idea why I was avoiding him, when he really hadn't done anything wrong. So the following day, when he knocked again, I took a deep breath and adulted.
"I've been worried about you," he said.
"Have you? I didn't mean to make you worry. I've just been busy with work."
"That's good, I guess. I'm glad everything is working out the way you planned with your move."
"Not everything, but whatever. Yes, I'm happy with the way my practice is developing."
"Are you free for breakfast? I was hoping we could talk a bit, catch up on everything else going on."
I was, but I lied. Looking at my watch, I saw it was 7:30. "I actually have an 8:30 counseling session, and I'm not finished getting ready."
"Dinner?"
"My entire day is pretty packed," I smiled weakly. "I'll be working late to transfer my notes into the case files." Baldwin frowned.
"Lunch. We can eat in your office if you'd like."
He wasn't going to take no for an answer. Sure. After he left, I thought better of having Baldwin at the office for lunch and texted him I'd meet him at a nearby restaurant. Not that I was concerned Drew would be upset or anything, but there was no telling what might come out of Drew's mouth.
"It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Today, I'd like to say blank to you and show you I mean it."
After adding the daily quote to my whiteboard, I added it to my website and then began reviewing my case files. I had back-to-back therapy sessions this afternoon, and I wanted to be prepared in case I was late returning from lunch. Baldwin texted earlier that he'd made reservations at 7th Street Cafe, a cloth-napkin-type lunch restaurant that could take a while to prepare their elaborate dishes. They didn't make burgers. They made Kobe beef burgers with fennel seeds cooked in free-range duck fat, something exotic-sounding to justify the $25 price tag. Half an hour before lunch, I was surprised when Baldwin showed up at the office instead of meeting me at the restaurant as we'd planned.
"I thought we were meeting at 7th Street Cafe." "I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd pick you up on the way."
I told him to come into my office so I could grab my coat and power down my laptop. Drew had been on an all-morning conference call, and of course he finished up right at that moment. He walked into my office without knowing anyone was there.
"What are you in the mood for? I was thinking dirty water dogs. Feel like taking a walk up to..."
He stopped in place when he saw Baldwin.
"Didn't realize you had company."
I caught the slight tick in his jaw. He definitely wasn't fond of Baldwin. Of course, Baldwin didn't help the cause. He responded snidely,
"Yes, we have a lunch date at a place where they don't serve dirty food."
Drew looked to me, and his eyes conveyed what he didn't say out loud to Baldwin. Then he turned and went back to his office, offering only,
"Enjoy your clean food,"
over his shoulder as he walked away. I'd almost made it out of the office when Baldwin stopped to read my daily quote. He turned to me.
"Your clients like this sort of thing?"
I was defensive. "Yes. I put the same daily quote up on my website where people connect and disconnect for video counseling sessions, leaving people with an inspirational quote and a suggestion for giving more to their relationship is a positive reinforcement to my sessions."
"I guess that depends on what you're suggesting."
I was confused at what he didn't like about it because I'd actually gotten the idea for daily quotes from one of his TA sessions back in college. I couldn't imagine why he seemed disturbed by my utilizing it. As I walked out the door, I stopped to reread my quote.
"Drew,
I was going to kill him. He'd modified. Again. I'd written. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Today, I'd like to say blank to you and show you I mean it. He must have changed it while my door was closed. It now read, it's not what you do, it's who you do it to. Today, I'd like to do you, and I mean it. Chapter 23. I have a belated birthday present, Baldwin said as we waited in the restaurant lobby for the hostess to finish seating the people ahead of us. You do? He smiled and nodded. You have an interview for an adjunct position in 2 weeks. It's only teaching one class, but it will get your foot in the door. Oh my God, Baldwin! Without thinking, I threw my arms around his neck and gave him a giant hug. Thank you so much. That's the... I was about to say best gift I could have asked for this year, but then I remembered what Drew had given me and corrected myself. That's amazing. Thank you so much. The hostess came and sat us, and we spent the next hour chatting about work and the professor I'd be interviewing with. It was nice to catch up with Baldwin. I really did enjoy his company. I realized that over the last month, my frustration because of the feelings I had for him had begun to interfere with our friendship. It was time I moved past it and enjoyed what we had for what it was. After we finished eating, the waiter cleared our lunch plates, and Baldwin ordered an espresso. He folded his hands on the table and moved the topic of conversation away from work. So you're seeing the attorney you share space with? No, that kiss you saw was the result of too many margaritas. Baldwin frowned, but nodded. Well, that's good. I'm not sure he's the type of person you should be getting too involved with. What does that mean? Yes, I was currently pissed off at Drew, and I planned to kick his ass when I returned to the office. But Baldwin wasn't going to put him down when he didn't even know him. He seems, I don't know, gauche. He's direct? Yes. And sometimes even a little crass. But he's actually quite thoughtful once you get to know him. Baldwin studied my face. Well, I'm glad there's nothing between you. I'm protective of you. You know that. Funny. In the little time I'd known Drew, I actually felt like he was the one who was protective of me. Drew's door was closed when I returned to the office. I listened to make sure he wasn't on a call, and then flung it wide open. You are such an asshole! I've been told that. How was your lunch with Professor Pompous? Delicious, I lied. My fancy hamburger wasn't even that good. Baldwin read what you wrote on my whiteboard. You need to stop screwing with me. He grinned. But it's so much fun to screw with you. And you won't let me screw you, so I have to get my rocks off somehow. I'm sure he thinks I'm not being professional with my clients now. Drew shrugged. Why didn't you tell him I wrote it? He doesn't like you much already. I didn't want to make it worse. I don't give a shit what he thinks of me. Why do you care what he thinks of me? That was a very good question, one I didn't have the answer for. I just do. He stared at me, and then he began to rub that damn plump bottom lip with his thumb. Want to know what I think? Do I have a choice? Drew walked around from behind his desk and leaned one hip against the front. I think you like me. That's why you care what that asshole thinks. Right now, I'm not liking you very much at all. His eyes dropped to my chest. Part of you is liking me. I looked down to find my nipples hard and erect. The damn things were practically poking through the silk of my blouse. Traitors. I folded my arms across my chest. It's cold in here. Drew pushed off the desk and took a few steps closer to me. It's not cold at all. I actually think it's warm. He grabbed at the knot on his tie and loosened it. Damn, why do I think that's sexy? My heart hammered inside of my chest. He took another step closer. Maybe 2 feet separated us now. I think your body likes me, and your head is fighting it. The two should fight it out like adults, naked in the bedroom with me. I think you're insane, and I'm a psychologist, so my diagnosis is probably the more accurate one. He took another step.
So if I pulled up that skirt of yours and reached between your legs, you wouldn't be wet.
My skin heated, and I wasn't sure if it was hearing Drew say he wanted to reach between my legs or the need I felt to have him actually do it. I couldn't look up and face him anymore, yet I also couldn't walk away. I stared at him from my eye level. He was so much taller that I watched the rise and fall of his chest. Each breath grew deeper, and mine joined his rhythm.
"Look at me, Emery." His voice was deep and confident. Drew waited until my eyes met his before closing the gap between us with one small step. "You have 3 seconds to get out of my office. Otherwise, you're giving me permission to do whatever I want to you."
I swallowed. My voice broke as I held his gaze. "I came in here to yell at you."
"I like it when you're angry." He paused. "One."
"You like it when I'm angry?"
"I find it turns me on." "Two."
"You won't do anything at three if I tell you to stop." He inched even closer.
"Of course not. You trust me. But you won't tell me to stop."
He paused.
"Last chance."
I stood frozen as he counted off his last number.
3.
Before I could object, Drew's mouth crashed down on mine. His bottom lip was so perfectly soft and plump. I'd been staring at it for weeks, and suddenly all that intense ogling took over my brain. I grabbed his tie and pulled him even closer as I sucked in that bottom lip. He responded with a groan and reached around, one hand going to each of my ass cheeks as he lifted me off the floor and squeezed hard. My skirt pushed up as my legs wrapped around his waist. He walked a few steps until my back thudded against the wall, then pinned me to it with his hips so he could free his hands. God, he knows all the tricks. His mouth began to suck on my neck, and I heard the whish of his buckle being whipped through the loops. That noise. It sounded so forceful and desperate. If I hadn't already been wet, I would have been after hearing that sound.
"You have any appointments coming in today?"
"No, just video sessions. You?"
"Thank fuck."
He grabbed my shirt, one hand on each side, and ripped it open. Pearl buttons scattered across the floor. His thumbs pushed down the front of my bra, and he bent, sucking a nipple into his mouth. Hard. "Oh, God!" I arched my back. It hurt, but I wanted more. I grabbed for his pants, but the way he had me pinned, I couldn't reach. Yet I needed to pull something. So I tangled my fingers in his hair and pulled as he increased his suction again. Never in my life had I felt so much desire. It was so powerful I wanted to cause him pain, which was completely out of character for me. I liked sex sweet and loving. This was pure, unadulterated, carnal need. My body was so on edge, so buzzing toward fevered climax, that I almost lost it when his hand moved between my legs. Pulling my panties to the side, he groaned at my wetness.
"I knew you would be soaked."
Then he slipped 2 fingers inside of me, and I let out a loud moan. It had been too long. Way too long. "Drew," I breathed a warning. If he didn't slow down, I was going to come. "Slow down."
"No fucking way," he growled. "I'll go slow after I watch you come on my fingers. I'll take my time as I lick every drop of your sweet juice from this tight little pussy. But right now, I'm not slowing down."
He pushed his fingers in and out, and then crooked one at just the right angle, and it sent me completely over the edge. I moaned through my release, not even ashamed that it had taken him less than 5 minutes to make me come.
"Jesus, Emery, that's the sexiest thing I've ever seen."
I was just about to tell him he should go about making it happen again, when a voice echoed through the office.
"UPS? Drew, is that you?"
Drew had a few spare shirts hanging on the back of his office door, so I grabbed one while he went out to go meet the UPS delivery guy. We'd stayed still, hoping he would go away, but he must have heard something because he started to walk up the hallway leading to our offices, which forced Drew to begrudgingly go deal with him. Now I was frenzied, buttoning a man's dress shirt that was 10 sizes too big to get myself covered. as if Drew would have let the UPS guy come back to say hello or something.